The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Expressway's coming up in about 15 minutes. LA Live at 5:40. Time now to get caught up in an edition of the finest. Here's the Chief.
Okay, I mean, I think this is one of the biggest notches on the belt for any NFL offensive lineman when you end up on the Brian Baldinger timeline via Baldy breakdowns. When you graduate to that, he's taking time out of his busy football watching schedule to just get dialed on what you got going on there in the trenches, and he spends 2.5-3 minutes breaking down your film, salivating over your dominance. That's just what happened to Brock Hoffman. Congratulations to him.
Yeah, he's made it.
I mean, that is, he has. This is his moment, and I'm just pumped for him, dude. We met him in Oxnard. Awesome guy.
Great
pulling for him in a huge way. And if Baldy's a Hoffman, so am I.
He seemed like a best-case scenario, like try-hard animal that's physical. I love how he pushes guys down when they're down and he's getting up, like on one knee. He did more of that in this last game. So pulling for him, and I'm excited it's coming together and he's able to execute at an NFL starting level. This is really cool because he brings that mindset and that toughness and a little bit of personality that you don't get very often in an O-lineman.
Yeah, congratulations to him. I mean, second to getting the Zach Martin 99 overall Madden golden chain. I really don't know what could get an offensive lineman more fired up.
Make Baldy's breakdown. It's like, holy hell. Baby, we've done it.
We've done it.
Break out the red panties.
I mean, it's right up there with all Madden Madden's dudes that he'd pick. You know, the all Madden group.
Oh, yes.
Would you rather be on Baldy's breakdowns or would you rather be a Gruden grinder? 877-881-1053. Because that's you want to talk about...
You get some music that comes along with the Gruden Grinder.
Yeah. Oh, you get all sorts of production value.
Yeah.
And that's it. That guy's literally salivating when talking about
you. He's a grand wizard.
He's at the height of pleasure when talking about his Gruden Grinders. So
I think Gruden Grinder's probably a little bit more high profile right now.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
Probably getting more views off of that.
Yeah.
Content machine. If you're a Gruden Grinder, you're all over the TikToks and whatnot. You know, like you're in the stratosphere. Baldy's got you in one sweet spot there for all the football guys to appreciate you. And there's something to be said for that. But Gruden's taking you probably to a whole other level. Okay, so we also have, who would you guys, what would be your answer if I said best rookie quarterback in the NFL this season?
Daniels.
Pretty unanimous, right?
I'd still lean Jaden Daniels, yes.
Jaden Daniels.
Tay, I was really wrong about Bo Nix.
Bo Nix is obviously
the conversation.
I was wrong. I was wrong about Bo Nix. And give Dan Lanning and those guys at Oregon a lot of credit for what they did, and give, you know, you got to give Sean some credit too. They got a great group of receivers over there. Really good defense, but kid does a good job. I mean, he had turnovers the other night, but for the most part, he was having a nice run of throwing the football there, and they're winning games. They're 8-5. You got to like that. Sean's got to be really, really happy because he's back to coaching a guy that's not going to check out of every single play he turns in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's got a guy that'll actually listen to him. And
when he was dealing with Drew Brees, Drew Brees would, he'd check every single play that Sean would call, or the possibility of that. And Bo Nix is not going to do that. Bo Nix is going to run the plays that Sean wants him to run. So he's got to be happy about that.
Bo Nix has probably never said the words "no sir" to Sean Payton. It's probably just been "yes sir." Yeah. You got it, coach.
No,
yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sean, you got it, coach. Sean was very much, when I talked to Sean about in 2016 about Dak Prescott, he was very envious of Scott Linehan and what Scott was. You know, it's like Dak's not going to check plays. He goes, "I got a guy that's really, really good. You know, Hall of Fame type of quarterback.
Won't
but
run.
But every play I call, he checks." So he goes, I'm kind of okay with, you know, with, he goes, "I admire what Dak and them are doing right now." I think he's got that with Bo Nix.
Yeah, and Bo Nix is getting plenty of the conversation right now because he's on a winning team. They are in the playoffs right now, and he
Daniels.
Right,
yeah,
right. And he just had the national game. Anytime you can score a bunch of points, make some highlight reel throws on a national game, that's going to get you the booster. But the guy who's hiding in the noon window and losing a bunch of games but is drawing the attention of Daniel Jeremiah is...
Caleb Williams.
Drake May, I would bet.
Mr. Drake May.
Yeah.
Drake May is he's bursting onto the scene for a bad football team. I mean, we were talking about him. It's like, do you even want to risk putting him out there because that offense is just so bad? But Daniel Jeremiah was asked on which fan base that has a rookie quarterback should be the most excited right now. And of course, if you're a Commanders fan, you're feeling great about Jaden Daniels. He's obviously been the rookie of the year, but Drake May has been playing quietly just really, really well. And so Daniel Jeremiah says, of all the rookie quarterbacks, I've been most impressed with Drake May. He's got nothing. He's got nothing to work with. The whole worry was we're going to ruin Drake May by putting him out there. The exact opposite's happened. Drake May has gone in there and made everyone else around him better, which for a rookie quarterback, that's some rare stuff. Of all the fan bases that should feel the most excited right now, it should be New England. So, man, if they end up only having a few years between the GOAT and the next franchise quarterback,
it's a big win.
That's going to be a huge win. I know Gerard Mayo is getting a ton of heat for all sorts of things, especially losing games, some in-game decisions, stuff like that. But if you got the quarterback, man, that's the big one. And he has been. I remember last year, and Dane Brugler had the numbers on it, and it stood out to me, not only just the physical attributes of this dude, how big he is, but the way he can run is awesome. And no one was stealing more first downs on third downs via scramble in college football last year than Drake May. And now he is, since starting in week six, he's first in scramble runs, first in rushing yards at the quarterback position, yards over expectation, EPA, missed tackles forced. And I haven't seen him get blown up. I feel like he's done a pretty good job of like keeping himself out of relative harm's way. But also the just creating plays outside of structure, he's best in the sport.
Wow.
The expected points added, he is the best in the sport since he's been playing at creating plays outside of structure and throwing catchable balls. So he's quietly been pretty awesome.
Where do you think Daniel Jeremiah had Drake May in his top 50 of the draft?
That's a good question.
Outside of it?
He had to have had it in the top 50.
I mean, I would say
he's in the top 50.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess in the top 20.
Would you like to throw a number then?
15? 30.
7.
5.
Wow. Confirmation bias, is that what you're alleging?
Ooh. He likes his guy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure.
Just saying.
That will happen from time to time. But Drake, the footwork was the thing that drove us crazy.
But everything you said is true. Everything you said over there is true. But I was curious. His top two quarterbacks were Caleb Williams, and his top five were Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison, Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers, Drake May.
So May was his second favorite quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's feeling good about that take.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that. I totally get that. I've certainly done that.
I would do a story, too, if my guy that I picked in the top five was...
Well, to be fair, he's not doing a story. He was asked, and so that was his response. But
he's telling you that, hey, that dude that I had the fifth and I picked... I've liked him since the start.
They found out his feet.
You bums, Brian brought it. You didn't believe me. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there was some erratic play with Drake May. I mean, you could see the upside there 100% with him. But I mean,
I didn't know if I'd had him in the top five.
He had some happy feet.
Yeah.
Who's he really throwing to? This is pretty incredible data.
Oh, no. You know, it is.
It's not just the scout. When it matches up with that and you see who they have, you know, I appreciate it. Something to look at. Yeah. No, for sure.
He had Daniels right behind him at 6.
Okay, so he was a fan of his as well.
Yeah,
but I mean, the idea that you could have Josh Allen and Drake May, who are similar builds, athleticism, big arm, like, man, that could be a future quarterback rivalry there in the division there in the AFC East.
Top now, pass catcher Henry with 610 yards. Yeah. Douglas 497. Hooper 337.
I'm constantly blown away when I see Austin Hooper out there.
I forgot he was still playing.
I really did. It blows my mind.
Saw him make a catch during red zone. I was like, wait a second, what?
I know, dude. I do it every week.
The Falcons Super Bowl team.
Every time I see him pop up on red zone, I'm as surprised as I was the week before.
Crazy.
Now I wanted to play some sound.
And 3.7 an attempt from Stevenson in the ground game. They're not even protecting him with the ground game.
No, he's
setting up the defense.
No, he's playing well.
Yeah, he's playing well. We have the Thanksgiving flub heard around the world, and I look forward to this moment right now. We go to the Thanksgiving pregame show where Broadus was holding it down with Wolchuk, and of course, the legendary voice of the Giants, Bob Papa, was set to join us behind enemy lines, and this was the interaction.
But now it's time to go behind enemy lines as we catch up with the legendary voice of the New York Giants, the great Bob Papa.
Jones on his helmet with one on the play clock. He gives it to Tracy, trying the left side of the offensive line. Breaks out of a tackle. Into space, 20. Tracy down the middle, 10. Tracy at the 5. Touchdown, Giants! Oh, Tyrone Tracy took it the distance from 32 yards. And with 8:54 to go here in Munich in the third, the Giants are right back in this ballgame.
Really good read and cut by Tyrone Tracy to cut it back, open hole, and outran everybody into the end zone.
Phenomenal analysis there. Now, Bob, can we confirm or deny here that that may or may not have been you?
No, that was Westwood One.
Yeah.
That was not me. Phil Sims on the analysis. Uh-huh. Who's actually here right now because he's doing Westwood One for today's game, the national broadcast.
There we go.
He's a pro.
At least there was a giant great on the call there. But unfortunately, that was not you. But, Bob, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for giving us some time.
What a play by me.
So they did a great job, bro. Seriously, you did a great job.
Dude, I don't know who I was more impressed by there in that situation. Wolchuk. The Wolchuk save Wolchuk. Or the Bob Papa willingness to just be humble and redirect to the greatness of Phil Sims and try and get up out of there.
Bob Papa is one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, and like, he is so honest about his team. He's like, he walks in there, he's like, you guys are gonna maul us today, you know. He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't like some of these guys we meet there. You know how it is, Eric. They just got to go on and on about
how
know,
awesome
get right games
is.
And yeah. stuff
Golly.
Like that. Bob Papa's like, nah.
I want to see how Aaron Andrews would handle something like that. Oh, it's a good call.
I don't think it would have gone well.
Andrew would not appreciate that.
Throw to a Slater off. Report as you're introing her.
Yeah. Well, okay.
That is not me.
Through the power of technology, I have the small little moment there when the microphones were still turned on.
Okay.
After like 5 seconds of hearing the highlight, Bob Papa says to Wolchuk and Broadus, this is what Bob Papa said.
That's not my call.
That was as the highlight was playing, and it was Phil Sims and somebody else on Westwood
he's
One.
Sits down, puts the headset on, and he's like, "That's not me.
That's not me."
So there's an isolated recording of just what's coming out of there, and you found that?
Yeah, well,
that's pretty cool.
For whatever reason, like when I rolled on it, it didn't have the highlight in there. It just had them still, just the ambient noise, and so it picked it up, and then I just went back and grabbed the highlight
that they used.
That's
awesome. Resourceful.
So just amazing. Bravo to you guys, the way you guys handled it, and bravo to Bob Papa.
Bob Papa's a pro.
Yeah, you're the best, Bob.
All right, in addition to the finest in the books, KNC Masterpiece Broadcasting, Palmer's Hot Chicken, Catfish and Shrimp, Mockingbird Lane in Dallas tomorrow, 10 to 2, and RJ's Firehouse Tour 2024 celebration. 15% of all sales at Palmer's donated to Guns and Hoses, helping families of first responders. And while supplies last, grab your one-of-a-kind Tolo Holiday Flask, brought to you by Firehouse Heating and Air, Palmer's Hot Chicken, Catfish and Shrimp, and of course, The Fan.
Man, good looking flask, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good looking Palmer's, too, that they've added the catfish and the shrimp.
Yes.
Palmer's
are
good for business right there.
Absolutely.
I think I might swing by before the show. Okay. Expressway coming up next. LA Live 540. We have National Signing Day. The big local stories there and the latest breaking news coming up next. It's the GBAC Nation on 105.3.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. The fan.
Smack on the 40-yard line is where Anger will put it down. Maher from 50 for the win. With 3 seconds showing. Snap, hold, kick from 50. Maher! Cowboys win! Brett Maher, walk-off!
Yeah, buddy. Cowboys replay brought to you by Ciroc. Please drink responsibly. LA Live coming up in 15 minutes here. GBAC Nation, every night at this time, we do hit the expressway, take you commercial free to the top. And the expressway is brought to you by the On Time Experts. Segments presented by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by Soda. That's a state of the art. Okay, it is National Signing Day. I'd love to get your thoughts on that and how important it still is. I know in my first decade in radio, we were such big, you know, college football centered being in the state of Oregon. You only have one pro team. So Oregon State, like Pac-10 recruiting, it would take over the show for like 2 days. And it was always interesting. But I think, you know, more and more it's all about the transfer portal. So we'll get some thoughts on that and salute some local kids who made big decisions today. It's pretty cool. And we'll take a look at, you know, what schools are doing the best. Your sports tonight on TV. Stars are in Los Angeles against the Kings. That's going to be 9 o'clock on TNT. A little national broadcast there for you if you're looking around for it. Astros could float trades of big pieces here. If you're looking at the AL West and what the Rangers are going to be in for, just hopefully to you know, capture that silver boot again. But big payroll, relatively barren farm system. Okay, this is good. This is chicken soup for your Ranger soul. I know you could use it. Astros at a crossroads. Bregman's a free agent. Kyle Tucker and Framber Valdez both 1 year away from hitting the market. The Astros have already been said to have discussed trading back-end reliever Ryan Pressly. So you have that as well as, you know, possibly moving the Astros down quite a bit. And according to this story, that's not all. Like, just about anybody could be in play as they now start to look at that fork in the road, Wolchuk, and possibly the end of this window finally relenting a little bit for us. And thankfully, that farm system is barren. So if they do turn towards a rebuild, it could be a half decade before they're back.
Yeah, I mean, they Altuve will be around, but otherwise you've seen that nucleus get broken here. I mean, Bregman's probably the next one. I'm excited for this. I was really surprised this year. The way they started the season, I was like, I think this thing's over. Then they were able to get it back together, end up winning the division, but then won it done in the postseason. That might be the last time you see him in the playoffs, to your point, for the foreseeable future.
Okay, the big story out of the NFL, the Jags putting Trevor Lawrence on IR. I mean, is this situation worse than what Tua's got going on? Already dealing with the sprained AC joint in the left non-throwing shoulder, concussion late in the first half of the loss, as Al Shaheer hit him. Sixth injury Lawrence has suffered since week 6 of the 2023 season. This guy can't stay healthy.
He's been banged up.
Yeah. So
yeah, I mean, like, from a concussion standpoint, Tua is still far scary. Ahead of him, I would say. But just the general injury-prone nature, like, for sure. That's now a part of his deal, and it might be in his head in a way that has him, because he's terrible under pressure.
Yeah.
He just kind of schizophrenic back there.
Yeah.
And that might be part of the reason why.
Yes, and his athleticism was always such a boost, and the escapability, I don't even know how you manage that as the Jags. I think if we would play this out over the next 2 to 3 years, like, deciding to start over, you know, would be probably the best decision they could make right now.
Yeah, I think two big questions for me personally coming into, and we'll see if the Cowboys job opens up. We all think it will, but the Jags, obviously, they'll fire Doug Peterson. Do incoming prospective coaches, with the dollar amount that Trevor Lawrence makes, with the dollar amount that Dak Prescott makes, do you look at those things as assets? Or is liabilities. That like, wow, I really don't even want to go attach myself to a team that's paying Trevor Lawrence that kind of money or Dak that kind of money.
Yeah, I don't think so. You had the update earlier. Dak Prescott says running still on the table, right, Wolchuk?
Yes, he's feeling confident about it, thinks he'll be fully ready to go for minicamp. But, I mean, it remains to be seen. I think Lucius brought up a great point. You know, you kind of got to get there first. You're still on crutches.
Yeah.
So you haven't even been running yet. I guess we got to wait and see how the healing goes.
Well, I mean, we talked with Brian Schottenheimer about it. I thought last year when NFL defenses had managed to, you know, stop big plays more and bring yards per attempt down at the same time, and it was basically begging quarterbacks to run, that you would go take those yards, and many teams have. But the injuries are piling up in a significant way. Like, if at the league office, how do you approach this? We are now incentivizing putting franchise quarterbacks at risk because of how good the defenses have gotten. You know, and you can play back at them and say, well, we need to get better offensive line play. That is true, but that's been a problem for over a decade now. NFL teams can't remedy it. NFL offensive lines need a lot more practice time together than a lot of the other positions to get that coordinated and executed properly. There's just not enough practice time to get offensive lines good enough to take advantage of the small, speedy defense. So I don't know. Maybe competition committee is the way to go. Although, you know, offense is not having a bad year, but the ratings do come down significantly. And it's like 8 to 10% if your starting quarterback isn't in the game. And you're thinking, okay, that's just 8 to 10%. But that's tens and tens of millions of dollars that the NFL is losing in TV in every game when the starting quarterback goes out.
The best thing that could help these quarterbacks is develop a running game.
Yeah.
Just take the pressure off them of having to, you know, Joe Burrow had back-to-back games. I think it was in week. So two game back-to-back games where he had threw over 50 passes in each game, you know, and his offensive line doesn't always protect him all that well. And we've seen Joe Burrow have injuries, but if you have a running game, as we all know, that takes a lot of pressure off your quarterback. It takes a lot of hits away from you too. And I think a lot of these teams, when you talk about developing offensive line, need to find a way to get everybody's running game to be better.
Yeah.
But I think when quarterbacks are under pressure, what are they going to do? They're going to run.
Yes.
When they run, what are they going to do? They're going to slide awkwardly, or they're not going to go out of bounds, or they're going to get hit, you know, and you're going to put your guys in harm's way. Now, I say this with the Dolphins do have a great running game, but their quarterback does take some hits. I think that's something I think that's something that's always happened with him. But I think that one of the things that could really help these guys if you somehow develop a better running game for a lot of them.
Yeah, I think that's the right answer. You know, more commitment to executing that. I don't think Dak's going to run, and I don't think he should run until you get into the playoffs.
He talks about it, but he's not going to do it.
It's just not something we've seen. No. Like, it was non-existent this year. No.
Well, and then when he finally did, he got hurt. Yeah. You know, yeah. So there's a very strong case that for the front office to talk to the coaching staff and say, we want to highly discourage this, and we're going to try to win 11 or 12 games with Dak running for maybe 150 yards for the entire season. And then when we get to the playoffs, if we have to, we will. Okay, Longhorns might end up with the number one class. They added a major commitment from one of the top available players in the country.
They passed Georgia.
They did?
Yeah, they passed Georgia. If you look at 24/7 sports, if that's the one you believe in, Texas has got 24 commitments, four five-star players, 14 four-star players, and 6 3-star players. So that gives them a total of 306. Georgia's got 27 commits. They've got more five-stars. They got 5 of those guys, 18 of the 4-stars, but their total is only 302. So Texas slightly went ahead with a late commitment that they just got.
Yeah, they pulled Michael Terry out of Alamo Heights High School in San Antonio over Nebraska and Oregon. Sure seems like the Longhorns have a lot of momentum here. It's changed so quickly, though. There's no longer like the team that just sits there on top last year, you know, Michigan, Washington, TCU a couple of years back. Do you think Texas can wrestle a consistent playoff spot out of this, or a consistent top 5?
Absolutely.
It really feels like, you know, where the name, image, likeness and the transfer portal and the recruiting, it's all coming into crystal clear focus here for them.
It's as long as they've got that quarterback position figured out, and they will with Arch, and quarterbacks want to play for Sark.
Sark has also figured out how to get the alumni to come in with the funds that they need. Texas has always had the money. They just needed somebody to really kind of organize them, and they've got somebody they can believe in now.
Yeah.
With Sark, he knows how to play the game. He's young enough. He knows how to recruit. He can rally the boosters, and he coaches really, really well. He's a modern day Goliath when it comes to these college coaches and how they need to be like these CEO type guys, but also be able to coach a little bit. And he does all of that.
If you struggled against Duncanville this year, it's because they had eight players going D1, including two five-stars, Keelan Russell and DeCorian Moore. They're good buddies, and they were trying to get each other to come to school with them, Bama and Oregon.
Yeah.
That neither one of them could turn the other, so they're both going off to their respective schools. How much does this hit for you guys? How important is this day for building your championship caliber college football program these days?
It used to be huge, but now because of the portal, I think that it's really been diminished. Yeah. Now it's all about how do you do in what is college free agency with who are you able to get with your transfers? I mean, look at Texas now. We just talked about them. They've had great recruiting classes, but being able to get guys like Isaiah Bond from Alabama at the transfer portal, right? Some of the defensive players they were able to get as well. In the secondary, it's all about really you've got to kind of find a balance there. But I think the portal has really become more important.
SMU had a big haul coming out of South Dallas once again.
No, absolutely, and that's what I was going to talk about, Dawson. That okay. I was looking kind of at the ACC rankings, and they got Miami number one. Nobody in the ACC pulled a five-star recruit.
Wow!
But Miami, this is a surprise one. Georgia Tech finished second in the in recruiting in the ACC. Clemson, Florida State. Florida State had a bunch of people leave, you know, or they would have had a much better number. But SMU finished in the top five at the ACC, just slightly behind Florida State and also Clemson. So, you know, good for the Ponies.
Absolutely.
They had four-star recruits coming to the Hilltop. So nice job by that staff over there getting that done.
Nice job by the Aggies as well. They get five-star wide receiver Jerome Miles. So there's just a smattering of your hits and your connections there in college football recruiting. Oklahoma starting quarterback Jackson Arnold entering the NCAA transfer portal. He'll have two seasons of eligibility remaining. Is this a loss for the Sooners?
It didn't seem like he was a great fit. He didn't ever really look comfortable. But now you've got a new offensive coordinator coming in there.
Yeah, Washington State. I saw him play the other night because they played LSU.
Yeah.
And initially didn't feel like he threw the ball very well leading in, you know, like when he had starts, they benched him, he came back, kind of felt like that he was better throwing the ball. Where he makes do is his ability to run. He is a really, really good athlete, though. I think he just scatters the ball, though. You know, LSU kind of had him a little bit rattled in that game, and he made some mistakes. So if he can kind of figure out the throwing part of it, I think he might be fine because he's more than a good enough athlete when it comes to running around and avoiding.
Absolutely.
Some people are tying, now that they brought in Ben Arbuckle to be the OC from Washington State, they're thinking that he might try and bring his quarterback from Washington State, John Mateer.
Okay, mm-hmm. That would make sense.
I mean, and you've seen guys from Washington. You just saw Cam Ward.
Yeah.
So Deontay Johnson, Raven, suspended a game, conduct detrimental, refused to enter a game against the Eagles. Ouch. The GM called it a difficult decision. I might have a hard time stopping it just that. You know, that just shows like so many different character flaws when it comes to football. I don't really want you around, you know, and if we're not producing, let's just call it a loss and, you know, send a message of what we stand for here with Ravens football. How serious of a problem is that, Brian? Have you ever seen that where a guy just is like, nope, not going in?
Well, you know, I tried to figure out, I thought maybe sometimes in a blowout, you get guys that don't want to go in, like it's a blowout and you're trying to finish out the game and you're like, no, you're not going to put me in this blowout just to finish this thing out. So he's not having great success. But the game they
it was 24-19.
That's what I'm saying. They were playing the Eagles. I don't, you know, usually you would think it because maybe it was that, like I said, a blowout and I'm not going to go out there just for that. But I think that to me, there's a lot more going on there when it comes to the fact that he has not had the production. The Ravens seem to just have struggled to try and find these receivers, right?
They draft him in the first round. I mean, Zay Flowers
has been okay, but man, it just seems like every time they've tried to to do that, it just hasn't worked out for him.
We wondered why it was just a 5 and a 6 and why the Panthers were so willing to get rid of a guy who'd been productive.
Their number one wide receiver at the time.
Yeah. I think the truth has emerged. Part of the Mavs storyline, the NBA Cup quarterfinals now next week. It matters to the players quite a bit because the veterans who are super paid and super rich, they still want to take care of the young guys that are on lower contracts, $500,000. And that should, you know, definitely spruce up the intensity. I think these guys are really going to want it. And maybe we don't care about the NBA Cup early on in the group stage, but once you're here and a trophy is on the line and you can turn in for like playoff level intensity, I think you're going to get that as guys are battling for the check. I mean, even if you're worth millions, $500,000 is a significant chunk of cash.
Yeah, especially when like the Mavs are going to start with Oklahoma City. Just that right there, the bad blood, all that kind of stuff. Like Oklahoma City is going to be trying to avenge some things a little bit, build some confidence after the Mavs kicked them out last year. So, and that it's like this is a preview of what could be the Western Conference Finals. So
yeah.
It is exciting.
It is. Okay, time now to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander has LA Live.
Oh, yeah. Caught me by surprise.
Time flies.
I was up here just selecting these. I got Audible. Give me some credits. I was like, oh, yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, look, I'm like, oh, yeah, appreciate it, brother. Yeah. I was looking through, see what they had available. Sorry about all of that. All right, let's get into a LA Live, a butt-naked Wednesday edition right after the great Rick James.
Fire up this funk and let's have a tub. It'll make you dance with some of everything.
Could you make a call? I lost my little brother.
All right, okay.
His first name is Dixon.
Dixie?
Dixon.
Dixon, okay.
His last name is Yaz.
Dixon Yaz?
Yes.
Oh, no. Dixon Walmart Shoppers. Dixon Yaz, please come to the fitting room. Your party is waiting. Dixon Yaz, please come to the fitting room. Your party is waiting. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be right there.
The fitting room.
She said, surely I'll help. This is LA Live for Wednesday, December 4th. December 4th. Happy G-Day to the god Jay-Z.
Luke.
And rest in power to Fred Hampton. Rest in power. It is a butt-naked Wednesday here in LA Live. Word to Miss Badu. I, too, was born on the water. All that good stuff. Fly stuff. Peace to the gods. All that. Anyway, let's get right into it. Before I get started on the subject today, I would like to call Brother Clarence Hill Jr. to the front of the congregation. Brother Clarence Hill Jr. Fellas, what is Clarence Hill Jr.? What does he do out here in these streets? For those who do not know,
Cowboys as I switch this music. On the Cowboys beat has been for many a year.
Many a year. Everybody knows Clarence, and Clarence knows everybody. Well, last night, J.J. Watt tweeted that he was at a Texas Roadhouse enjoying a succulent meal. Ooh. A succulent meal. It looked fantastic to me. It looked like it was prime rib.
Yep.
Mashed potato salad. You seen it too, brother?
Oh, yeah, man.
Saw those rolls.
Yeah, it looks good, man. I stay away from the rolls, but, you know, I remember them, and they were fantastic. Yeah, they were fantastic. And then I looked at what Clarence said, and I was flabbergasted. Flabbergasted when I seen Clarence Hill's quote tweet of J.J. Watt's meal pick.
I'm glad that you agree here.
I couldn't believe it. Well, maybe we're lost in the sauce. Maybe. Clarence maybe got a little bit more class than we do out here. I don't know. Clarence Hill, chill as we call him out here, quote tweeted J.J. Mills' pick and said, "This rich man said Texas Roadhouse ... for steak with a question mark." Huh?
It's a good steak there at Texas Roadhouse. Mm.
I mean, is my man Chill reaching or preaching when it comes to being papered up out here in these streets? If you got paper in your pocket, can you not go to Texas Roadhouse for steak?
Just took my family there. And I think, yeah, it was, you know, regularly priced $120, I think, you know.
That's a steal. You got the family?
Yeah.
Eating steaks?
The whole steak?
No, we didn't all eat steak. And that was at lunch.
Okay.
And by the way, they give you unlimited rolls.
Yes. And that's worth $120
and the
right
butter,
there.
Yeah.
Cinnamon butter's unbelievable.
But yes, I do feel like that was a lot of money, but that's just kind of what you're used to. Not specific to Texas Roadhouse. Like we were at Olive Garden the day before. Bang. Triple digits.
Yeah. But is the food quality good enough for you to say, I don't care how I can be a millionaire going there and sit down and eat Texas Roadhouse?
I think that if that's a place
to have 600K in the bank and sit down and eat Texas Roadhouse.
I wouldn't call it fine dining.
Not fine dining. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, but good. Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. Okay, good.
Yes.
Good. What would you consider great?
Like the, you know, the Capitol Grill or Nick and Sam, stuff like that, like elite fine dining.
Okay, I'm with you then, if that's what you say. Yep, I'm with you on that one. Mm-hmm. Is Chill reaching and preaching right here? Is J.J. Watt too, is he too up to go out there and eat at a Texas Roadhouse? He can't park his SUV. They all look the same in the parking lot.
I'll tell you what, the damn prime rib there looks excellent.
It looks good.
It looks fantastic.
They got this, they got au jus on the side. They got a loaded baked potato, green beans.
Looks good, bro.
It looks really good.
I imagine for J.J. Watt, this was like a kind of a spur of the moment. Like you would just go get something to eat anywhere. It's like, hey, we're going to Texas Roadhouse. We didn't have plans. We're hungry.
Yeah.
Boom. Good atmosphere. I don't think you're like J.J. Watt planning a family dinner weeks in advance. Okay. Like, hey, we're killing it at Roadhouse tonight. But
This is like pulling into a Sonic.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Chill's trying to draw him off sides because he's eating prime rib at the Texas Roadhouse.
I understand punching on that.
If you're going to eat prime rib, probably go to one of the high end places. Is
Lowry's.
What you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what he's calling.
Is that the move right there?
Because if you show a meal like Texas Roadhouse, and you're eating chicken fried steak and mashed potatoes and all that, you're kind of thinking, all right.
Yeah.
But you're going to eat prime rib. Yeah, and you're going there? Okay. I think that's where Chill was calling him out.
If I ever had money like that, some places would be below me, right?
Like, some places would be.
Yeah. Probably not going to be at Chili's.
But it's not going to be at Texas Roadhouse for me.
Damn, come on. That triple dipper's undefeated.
That look Chief gave me was epic.
Shows me you haven't had the crispers in years.
Yep.
Also tells me you haven't had the skillet queso in a while.
Oh, that queso's fantastic.
You definitely haven't had the Big Mouth Burger.
Things cut the right way, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, might be above it already.
Yeah, come on. I can be a millionaire. I'm going to Chili's.
Okay, I'm not mad at Chili's. Yeah, I'll pull up. You know
Warren Buffett
I mean?
Loves Dairy Queen.
Come on, dog.
Hey, Blizzards? Are you kidding me?
That's what I'm saying. Warren Buffett is
McDonald's in the White House.
Loves Dairy Queen.
I don't know, but I'm pulling up at Texas Roadhouse. I don't care how much paper I got in my pocket. If it's
exactly.
Bad, I'm
hungry, it's good
and
food.
I want a steak, I'm getting it.
That salt.
Ribeye.
Salt grass.
Ribeye. I'm getting the ribeye.
The biggest, fattiest one you have, sir. Please, thank you. Gosh. Okay, but I like your angle right there, brother, that you're talking about. Maybe it's the... It's the prime rib.
He should have said
exactly.
It then.
He should have said that.
Prime rib. Yeah. Question mark, boom.
Don't give him too much credit.
Yeah, if he's calling him out like you can't go anywhere else to eat prime rib, you got to go to Texas Roadhouse. I think that's what Chill is doing.
Okay, I like that. I'll take that. And speaking of Chill, I went to Specs for a Crown Royal pecan pie for Thanksgiving. I was going to take over there to the Pop's house.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it, was it Wednesday night?
Okay, wait. You're the one that told us all about that, right?
Did I? I can't
Specs
remember.
Specs pies. I know Choppy's big on them as well.
Choppy's. That's where I heard it the first time.
Okay.
That's where I heard
know,
it. Because they were talking about it in the morning show, and Sean's like, what? You're going to electric?
Yeah,
store?
Man.
You know, that kind of thing?
It's good.
It's good? Okay.
Yep. It's good. I brought it to, the plan was to bring it over to Pop's house for Thanksgiving. I opened it up that night just to get a little piece of it.
Oh.
And the pie did not make it to Pom's house. I didn't eat the whole pie, but I did so much damage. I'm like, I can't take this over to somebody's crib.
Not in good faith.
Did you eat it completely out of the tray?
I did, dog.
Yeah.
You scooped
it. What a fork.
Yeah. Double dipping and everything.
It wasn't even nice little slices in there. You just seen just four chunks on one side. Oh, man.
Shark attack?
Yeah, exactly, man. LA Live, 105.3 The Fan on a Butt Naked Wednesday. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the van at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Yes, I still call it Twitter. His mama call him Clay. I'ma call him Clay, baby. Let's go to the Champions League. A little soccer right here, a little football. CBS Sports Golasso. Kate Scott and her crew banned their co-host, Micah Richards, from talking about a team that I never even heard of until I seen this clip about a week ago. Brest FC, that's a soccer team.
The hell club.
Wow.
Really is.
We are going to do a segment about Brest. Unfortunately, we do feel that you have consistently proven that you can't stay professional in these segments where we're talking about Brest. So we would just, production would like to ask you, are you comfortable with just staying silent whilst we...
Come on, Kat, I can do this.
No, we really think it's for the best.
Come on,
we think
we've
it's
had
for
a
the
chat
best.
About it.
Trust me, I know
I'm sorry.
What I'm
doing. No. If you could just agree and we can move on with the segment.
Just
please.
Agree.
Just agree.
Thanks. Very much. All right, so after four games, who here likes Brest?
Yeah.
Like Brest.
Mm-hmm. You do too?
I like the shape of them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, I mean, you look at the setup and the manager he's got, you know.
I'm interested, how much do you enjoy watching them? Would you pay to watch them?
I have done.
Yeah. But basically, one thing that you can say is you don't have to be big, you can be small and compete.
Mm. That's interesting.
That's good. Interesting.
Do you think Brest could get exposed tonight?
Yeah. I hope so.
I guess one of the things you have to wonder is...
What is this nonsense?
Nonsense.
HR. Wow.
What do you reckon, that Mikey? Do you think Barcelona could come a bit quickly for Brest tonight?
Oh. Whoa, I think it might have crossed the line.
That cost your job.
You're trying to get me sacked.
You're trying to get me sacked.
British accent's making so much better. Yeah.
French club.
Brest. She sets it up so well, and then she was in on it the whole time.
The whole time.
Multi-layered. Yeah. Best bit I've heard in a while.
Yeah, my man.
Is it raining outside? Is that rain or is it just foggy?
Foggy.
Okay. Because I need some windshield wipers.
Pavement's wet.
Yeah. It's like somebody's rubbing their hand across my truck window. <That's laughs> I got you, dog.
Just make sure it doesn't get down to that metal. Because that don't let it get to that.
No, you're right about that, brother. You're right about that. Be on the lookout, folks. 'Tis the season for the jukes. You will get robbed. You will get robbed this season. People are looking to get paid. And robbing you and ripping you off is how they do it. We see them as people as we're walking around here in these streets. They see us as food. We are food.
What do we got to be most aware of? I like to get out of my vehicle in a fighting stance, usually, Lucius.
Yeah, I remember
that. You know,
that.
Just to let people know.
Yeah, don't go to the ATMs at night, especially don't go by yourself. I'm seeing that. Just checking the headlines. Washington Post, a con man scams woman from life savings.
Oh, no.
Fox 9, churchgoer scams grandmother out of 100K. Wow. Wow. Let's go to Houston, where a mother of three is scammed out of her rental home. And then some Frisco woman was scammed out of $600K by Elon Musk impersonator.
$600K! Yeah, he'll send you a DM and then get you a video chat. Looks pretty realistic.
Yeah, clearly. $600K? Man, I wish I'd have known that lady. I just need 25. Put me on my feet, baby. Put me on my feet, dog. I got you, baby. So I got a question for the Tolos right here that I asked on Facebook. Have you or someone you know ever been a victim of a scam? Has a scammer's caught you?
I got two.
Lacking. Come on, bro.
I lost $300 in a fake crypto presale about 3 or 4 years ago.
Ouch. Oh,
no. Okay. I considered it lucky that's all I had to pay. You know?
They made off.
And then I almost got scammed on eBay. This guy sent me a message and he was like, yeah, you know, I'll send you some money, send me the stuff. And then when it arrives, I'll pay you. And I actually took it to the post office because I was going to make like $1,200 and I got greedy. I got excited about the money.
Yeah, right? That's what happens. That's how they get you, bro. The con man, they give you the confidence.
I took it inside. I dropped it off. And then as I'm leaving the parking lot, I just thought, well, let me check this guy's email real quick because it said like something official on the title of it. But when you hit forward, it reveals their full address. And it was like a bunch of numbers at Yahoo or whatever. And I raced back in there. I'm like, truck hasn't picked it up yet, right? I'm sorry. I got to get this stuff back.
Oh, damn. Got him.
He almost got me.
Ooh, good save.
Mm. Yeah, good for you. I can't believe he let you make it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the guy that I was going to send it to was in New York, right?
Okay.
And the dude sympathized with me there at the shop. He just went right back there, rolled it back out, gave me a refund.
Good for you, brother.
Yeah.
We got a tow load that says, my 16-year-old got scammed by trying to buy a puppy online.
Oh, no.
That's big time.
Definitely scammers out there.
Because all the puppies kind of look similar.
Bro.
They're like, oh, yeah, this is purebred.
Yeah. He'll grow into it.
Yeah. Yeah. You get the run. Looks like the Simpsons dog.
This is a Labrador, dog. This ain't no pit. Let's see. My ex-father-in-law bought a $250,000 RV off of Facebook for $800 of Amazon cards. So they got that $800. My man thought he was going to get a $250,000 RV. Mm. Okay, bro.
Back in the gaff, I thought I was supposed to be getting some dro. I got served up some West Dallas popcorn for dro prices.
That's huge. Loss.
It was high back in the day, too.
It's getting less and less high every time you hit it.
Bro, you still ain't giving the bag to your man. Sniff that, bro. That just don't smell right, right? Like, what's going on here?
This is good.
Yeah, this is popcorn, ain't it? Look at it. Look at the seeds and sticks and stuff in it. What else we got right here? Someone called my mother and claimed that they were from the VA and needed all my personal information to send me a financial aid packet. They cleared out my USSAA bank account.
Oh, gee, man.
Streets gotta eat. Be careful out here. Somebody tried to scam me a few weeks ago. Well, that confidence, man, I'm telling you. And they want a whole lot. Yeah. They want a whole lot. They don't just come for a little bit. They want a whole lot.
Swinging for the fences.
Yeah, and they got diamonds on and everything. And they driving Bentleys. Hey, man, I can do this for you and do this for you. No, that's how you got those Bentleys. You scamming out here. Scamming out here.
They just ran up on you, Lucius, like that?
Now, well, I ran into him. And
started hitting you.
He started hitting me up. Yeah. You sure you're doing good out here, Lucian?
You could be doing better, though.
You could be doing better. You can get like me.
Yeah, they turned the lights off last night.
Got me, man. Need your help. Have you or someone you ever been, someone you know ever been a victim of a scam? Here's the thing about Tolos when I ask this question. Somehow it always goes back to the Cowboys or Jerry Jones. Oh. A lot of the questions was, Jerry Jones is a scam artist. I was promised a Cowboys playoff run. Y'all wild.
You got ball sacked.
Yeah.
I'm all in.
Every year.
Have you been a victim of a scam? Yes. Only fans that don't have nudes.
Basically an Instagram account?
Yeah. Basically an Instagram account that you have to pay for. $800 apparently. They keep playing you. Don't blur them out too. Don't do that little blur thing. I'm going to really get mad at you. Yeah,
I saw an uproar. People are getting frustrated because they think they're looking at a chick, and then at the end of the video, they realize, oh no, there's a was a surprise. Yeah. There's a peen.
Yeah, boy, I tell you what,
full fledged schwans right there at the end.
They got schlonged.
Boy, I tell you,
man. Yeah, only man.
Yes, yes, that has happened to the best of us out here. I was scammed out of $3,000 on a fan house rental, whatever that may be.
Oh, yeah.
You know what that is?
I'm not
fun house?
Fun, maybe.
But bounce house thing?
I was thinking like the Airbnb scams.
Oh, okay. Yes.
You're listing properties that aren't even yours.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. They are eating out here.
Show up at a house, knock on the door, there's a family of five inside. Yeah, we're here to hang out for the day. No, you're not.
I didn't know they was doing it like that. Yeah, that's my crib, man. Send me that deposit, though. That's wild. My parents telling me that they were going to hold on to my birthday money so I wouldn't lose it. I never seen that birthday money again.
Yeah, I've been there before.
Yeah. Let me see. What grandma gave you a 50? Let me see that. Show it. I'm going to put it here. Right in this sock drawer. You know, keep care for you. Let's see. Someone I know is going through a Johnny Depp impersonation scam right now. Yeah, okay.
You know, the USA money printing, inflation, they're stealing from us every year, 3-4% of our buying power.
They keep printing that money.
You think people get scammed on those cameos? Like that one Antonio Brown did that we played, like anniversary, birthday, wedding. You can't even read what the hell they wrote. Like I'm paying for somebody to do a cameo, and then they don't even fulfill what I've asked and requested here.
And they say your name all wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that.
Or they call it Chinooka or something.
It's Chinooka.
Happy Chinooka.
Chinooka.
Have you been a victim of a scam? Last one. Yeah, it's called marriage. Oh! I feel you, fam. Don't get scammed out of here. All right, my name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Lord willing, because they changing out here. I'll see you. Holla.
There he goes, LA Live with Lucius, every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Coming up next, Leah Asimakopoulos. She covers your Dallas Stars and SMU Mustangs, and she'll tell you all about them coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation and the fan.